whānau o Auckland Unitarians. Tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri. Nau mai, haere mai ki te hui o te rā nei. Haere mai ki te kaupapa o te rā. Ko Rachel McIntosh tōku ingoa.
Ko Betsy Marshall tōku inoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Welcome all, church whānau and visitors, to this place of worship, virtual and physical, made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for 122 years. Welcome to those joining us remotely, to those here in the building, and to those who will be watching the recording at a later time. We welcome you as you are. You find us as we are. My name is Rachel McIntosh.
And my name is Betsy Marshall, and together, Rachel and I will be leading this service in tribute to Clay Nelson today. For those of you here in person, you are invited to join us for a cup of tea or a coffee immediately following the service. It is our sacrament of hospitality.
For opening words, I'm going to read a story that Clay has read at least once in his time here, and it's called The Carpenter's Task. Once upon a time, there were two brothers. Their father had a large farm, and when he became too old to work, he called his sons to him. "I am too old to work anymore," he said. "I will divide my farm in half and give each of you one half. I know you will always work together and will be good friends." When the brothers first started farming on their adjoining farms, they were the best of friends and would share everything together. Then one day there was an argument between the two brothers and they stopped speaking to one another. For many years, not a word was spoken between them. One day, one of the brothers was at his house when a carpenter came to his door and said, "I'd like to do some work. Do you have any work that I can do?" The brother thought for a moment and then replied, "I would like you to build a fence on my property. Build it down near the stream there that separates my farm from my brother's. I don't want to see my brother anymore, and I would like you to build a high fence there, please. I'm going into town, and I'll be back this evening." When he came back that evening, he was shocked to see that the carpenter had not followed his instructions. Instead of building a high fence there, he had built a bridge over the stream. The man walked down to take a look at the bridge, and as he did, his brother walked towards him from the other side. His brother said, "After all the terrible things I've done to you over the years, I can't believe that you would build a bridge and welcome me back." He reached out to his brother and gave him a big hug. The brother then walked back up to his farmhouse to talk to the carpenter. "Can you stay?" he said. "I have more work for you to do." The carpenter answered, "I'm sorry, but I can't stay. I have to go, for I have many other bridges to build."
Today's words for the chalice lighting were written for ministers by Celia Thurston at a clergy retreat. You may remember my reading this several weeks ago. Clay, we light this chalice for all the times you have lit this chalice, for every time you have struck the match or flicked that zipper thing or empowered a nervous parishioner to do the same. We light this chalice for all you have done, for all you've fostered and cultivated and nudged, for all you've suggested and directed and maneuvered. We light this chalice for the intensity of your reactions in responding to grace and rejecting mediocrity, within the tender balance between tradition and choice. We light this chalice for your having been here out of calling, out of commitment, out of love. We light this chalice for the time you have spent preaching and hurting and healing. We light this chalice for you.
If you wish, now you're welcome to recite with us the covenant of our congregation.
Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament. and service is its prayer, to dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God.
And now we have special music, but with many thanks to Frank, who has prepared for us the song by one of Clay's favourite bands, written by Paul McCartney. And also would like to thank Peter Jennings, who's back in the building for the first time in some time, who prepared a slideshow that will accompany this music. So this song, The Long and Winding Road, was written by Paul McCartney, inspired by a drive he took through Scotland. The winding roads and the beauty of the countryside inspired him to write about the twists and turns of life.
Rachel and I have entitled today's random musing Cornucopia, and I'm going to go through this fairly briefly because I think a lot of this ground has been covered so far by many people who have spoken today. But just to recall that in early 2014, our community was coming to terms with the fact that we'd only had 8 months with our visiting minister from the U.S., who had to then leave due to visa issues. And finding a minister who would meet all of our contract expectations was quite a tall order. And I think Max has identified a number of those qualifications in the actual agreement. We needed somebody to provide spiritual leadership, deliver religious education for both adults and children, provide pastoral care, establish community outreach, foster social action, ensure music is an integral part of our services, and participate in denominational affairs and meetings, of course, of the congregation. Now, the required attributes, again, Max has listed many of these: Master's of Divinity degree, a clear vision for the church and the community, a deep understanding of Unitarian Universalism, and the importance of community engagement, a knowledge of our history, and experience and training in leading lay leadership. So we knew our expectations were unachievable, and yet, as if by some miracle, the Reverend Clay Nelson, who met all of these criteria and more, expressed an interest in the position. And what's more, because of Clay's credentials, we were able to secure funding from both the Mackey and Newland Trusts to offer him a position.
Clay stamped his mark at the very beginning of his time here by setting a condition of his coming to serve as minister, that Auckland Unitarians become a member of the Living Wage movement and also become a living wage employer. This apparently mild-mannered cleric very clearly knows his mind. He leads not with loud trumpeting, but quietly working among people. And yet when it matters, he knows how to put his foot down. There is a story that Clay tells about a couple who came to him to let him know that sometime earlier he had saved their marriage. He had done so unwittingly through the words of a sermon he'd delivered. Clay asked them what it was that he had said that had been so helpful. What they relayed to him was not something he had said or would ever say, and yet it was what they'd heard. The same thing has no doubt occurred many times over. We call this talk Cornucopia because of the abundance we have enjoyed through Clay's ministry here. Clay's often enjoined us to open our hearts, and abundance has flowed. However, in doing some research for today, I came upon a sermon Clay gave on abundance, which contains a warning about thinking that we can simply adjust our attitude and that all will come right. In that sermon, we heard, or could have heard, that we need economic literacy as much as we need to open our hearts. There are structural political realities that require us to be active and to build a powerful, not just a beloved community, to contribute to justice in the world. Clay hasn't always told us, in fact, often has not told us, things we expected to hear.
In February 2017, Clay was approached by a group of Indian students seeking sanctuary in the church. The students were facing deportation due to fraudulent documents their agents submitted without their knowledge. It's fair to say that initially, some members, including myself, were uneasy about what we as a church were being asked to do. However, as Clay pointed out to us all, we as Unitarians could not decline the students' request. As he stated in a press release at the time, supporting justice and fair play is in the DNA of Unitarians. This situation requires a response from us all. It is clear that these students are being subjected to a harsh penalty due to the actions of others and not their own. We implore the government to intercede on their behalf. It is the right thing to do.
Part of what was worrying some of our community about the Indian students was a niggling question. Were they guilty? Had they really been complicit and committed immigration fraud? Clay let us know that this is the wrong question. Giving sanctuary does not involve judgment. The only thing for us to discern was that the students were vulnerable, needed help, and that we were in a position to give it.
The shock announcement by our Prime Minister that we would have to isolate in our homes to prevent the spread of COVID had a profound effect on all of us. While many of us assumed that closing the church meant an end to Sunday services, Clay's focus was ensuring services could continue via Zoom. Even when the level of restrictions enabled some of us to return to church, there was a need for innovation. Such was his concern for maintaining a beloved community and recognizing the isolation of those who, because of health issues, could not return to church. Clay conducted two services, one in the church that was live streamed, and then another he did on Zoom. He raced from the pulpit to the office and back to the pulpit again, in order that all of us could participate. And as a result of Zoom, our community extends now beyond our building and, in fact, beyond New Zealand. Throughout Clay's 9-year ministry, he delivered, and Shireen, I think, has identified only a few of those many, roughly 300 sermons, or what he called 400 sermons. And what he called random musings. Now, not one of these was a repeat or a rehash, and clearly none were random, with highly relevant issues to the day. Now, as someone who has struggled with my Christian doctrinal roots, I have been liberated by Clay's musings about Christian holidays, especially Christmas. In his address to Answorth, for example, he reminded us that Christmas is a time to honor our admiration for the just and compassionate world Jesus hoped we would create, without worrying who he was, but more about who we are and how we treat one another, especially the unfortunate. When it came to Easter, Clay rose to the challenge of making it meaningful for us as Unitarians. His challenge, and I quote, was not to convince us that the resurrection happened, but that resurrection happens. He said, I want you to get Easter because I care about you. Getting Easter will only enhance your life. You don't have to be a Christian to benefit. As a number of you have also mentioned, Clay offered a whole range of RE programs for our community. As Clay knows, one of my favorites was Saving Jesus from Christianity. And as a few others have said, we had Islam. We also had Facing Death with Life. And more recently, Rescuing the Bible, which Alex mentioned. And I thought it was really very important that Clay found that UUs were woefully ignorant about a foundational document of Western civilization. And because he wanted UUs to be prepared to be able to discern its misuse by some Christians historically and in the present culture wars. As illustrated in some of the slides you've seen, Clay also introduced into our service a time for all ages. This became so integral to our services that even when we had no children on a Sunday morning, we made it clear to Clay that the child within us still needed it. And again, as some of you have mentioned, who could have imagined that music would once again become such a glorious and uplifting part of our services, thanks to Clay? Not only did you find for us talented pianists such as Frank and others, but can you believe it? And as Max and others have said, a completely refurbished organ. Those of us responsible for the wording of the initial ministerial contract never in a million years would have expected to have a minister who had substantial experience in organ refurbishment. That experience meant he also knew how incredibly time-consuming the process would be, and that included not just the sensitive and time-consuming negotiations he had with the anonymous donor, but also with the South Island Organ Company. We never expected to have a minister who understood the critical importance of technology and a high standard of technology, and as a result provided leadership in the funding and installation of an excellent sound system, as well as live streaming capability. I can assure you, this too was not in the list of ministerial expectations. Clay's retirement is the first time in my time in the church that a minister's departure has not created panic in our community. Because Clay has done so much to strengthen lay leadership, we move forward on our pathway with many hands to see us through our transition until we are able to engage a paid minister again. Thank you, Max.
The story of the cornucopia, the title of this talk, The Horn of Plenty, has many versions, but here's just one very brief one. When the god Zeus was a baby, he accidentally broke off the horn of the goat who was nursing him. Thenceforth, the horn had the divine power to provide unending nourishment. Clay, your ministry has been abundant. It is now up to the rest of us to build on the foundations you have laid, to provide unending nourishment, spiritual, pastoral, intellectual, and practical, to our beloved community. Amen. And now I invite you to say the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment, or the fire of candles. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. I invite Clay to say any words he might have in response to what he's heard so far. And then we'll have notices done. Don't fret.
Well, as unused to public speaking as I am, and having this thrown at me at the last second, I want to say I was deeply humbled by the things you had to say. You brought back many, many memories. We've done a lot in 9 years, and I have to say, I'm getting old, I'm told. And the memory isn't what it used to be, but you brought back a lot of that. Mostly, you brought back how much I love you. I would tell you, recently, I went online for a service, and that camera only shows the back of your hands. I can name you all by the back of your hands. I feel like I know you intimately. You have been an intimate part of my life. And I'm very proud of what we've done together. I don't want this to seem like it's all about what I did. I could do what I did because of you. And the fact that you jumped in whenever asked and have done some amazing things. I mean, there were 17 people coming to this church when I arrived. You know, not much was going on. The service was chaos. And look at you now. So God bless you all. The God you believe in, the God you don't believe in, the God that's a metaphor. May all good things come to you in the future. I'm not going to go away because I'm not sure I trust you yet to handle it. I'm going to keep an eye on you, urge you on, and help where I can. Thank you. One more thing. I couldn't have done it without her. She has been my right, left arms, both legs, my connection to the world that we need to create.
Notices. Anybody got any notices? A noticeless week. Is that because it's 10 past 12? Okay, I will just go to closing words then. The closing words are by Mary Oliver, A Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan? The black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Now, we did have a discussion question, but I think we've kind of had discussion, and also it's 12:15 now. But we do have a postlude from Frank. Frank, what are you going to play us?
My Way by Frank Sinatra.